other colleagues have indicated, we have started to regionalize our operations to make sure that then we provide project level support to municipalities as well as provinces. Secondly, we are now much more focused in what we want, including the issues around the township establishment, because that will unlock the issuing of title deeds. So one of the outputs in terms of informal settlements upgrading is formalization, which means then that going through all those processes that allows for a township establishment. Secondly, we now also focus more on infrastructure, because what we determine is that there's more money that is spent on provision of temporary services. Now we are pushing that then we move from that to permanent services and provide infrastructure, also deal with all the other issues around bulk, because some of the excuses that we have received is that there's no bulk. So the funding now that is starting in the 2021-2022 budget vote is also dealing with also a provision of the of bulk infrastructure. Also the services, service sites as part of informal settlements upgrading. What I will also tell you that then what I have, we are now changing is to understand now that the accountability in terms of the phases of the upgrading of informal settlements upgrading, that we now know that we have about 1,000 informal settlements that we are paying for, and we now know that how many settlements, informal settlements that are in phase one, where they are, which municipality or which provinces have put them in the business plans. But on the overall, I can tell you that we have 327 informal settlements that are in phase three. The anxiety that we have right now is the procurement processes that are taking too long by the municipalities as well as the provinces. And the procurement is about the installation of infrastructure. We're trying to also, as much as we can, to provide support. In terms of also formalization, as the members have also highlighted, there is a processes that needs to be followed, as with the Special Planning and Land Use Management Act, which allows for a certain period for advertising and all the other issues. However, we do know that by the end of this current financial year, we will be able to report that there are X number of informal settlements that are finalized. So that is what we are currently doing to ensure that we are improving. Where we are, we acknowledge that there are certain things that we didn't do well, but we are trying our level best to ensure that we are improving. The issues around reblocking. Reblocking is part of the formalization process. Once there is a layout plan, then you start then reblocking. Hence, then we are saying we're putting a lot of emphasis on township establishment, because that is that layout plan that will allow us to know where the roads are going to be, where the engineering services are going to be, and then if there are certain checks that would be on the way, then who agrees to be moved where? That is part of the reblocking process. So we do agree with what you're saying, that it will expedite the security of tenure, but security of tenure will be unlocked through the township establishment processes. The other issues around the DPME, unfortunately, we are also not privy to DPME views on our performance. So, but they are the members of our technical MINMEC and MINMEC. So we'll find out the report that they usually present in those meetings. What are they saying? And therefore, unlike the Auditor General that usually provide us with the report, we did not get the draft from DPME. With that, Chairperson, I would like to thank you, and the Minister, I'm handing over to you, and say that then definitely there will be much more improvement in the next report that we'll be presenting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The program managers, stroke DDGs, have covered a wide range of areas. What I've noted is that the majority of questions are about our entities. And I concur with the Minister that we will have enough time to deal with the specific issues that are affecting our entities on Friday and the following week. Chairperson, I want to confirm, I think my colleague touched on this matter, that we are actively involved in the IMC for Land Reform, which is chaired by the Deputy President. Just to give you an example, Minister Kubayi and Minister Dilil have agreed to transfer more than 14,000 hectares of land, public works land and properties, to human settlements for human settlements development. And that has been agreed upon by the two ministers. It's a resolution that was passed in the IMC for land reform. So we are leading there in that IMC. We are actively involved. We've never missed not even a single meeting in the IMC. So I can confirm that the department is providing leadership in the IMC. Honorable Sege, I think your question was covered, so I'm not going to repeat it about the security of tenure and service stands. I think it's only progressive to do so. A lot of countries, Brazil, India, and many other developing countries, they always prioritize the lines of service. In Brazil, they would refer to it as lines of service. They're not building houses, but they're providing security of tenure and providing lines of service. They do the same in India. And I think it makes a lot of sense that we focus on providing housing to the vulnerable, the elderly, the indigent, and children headed households. So we have to tighten up this part of the provision of fully subsidized houses going forward, because the fiscus is getting smaller and smaller. So it makes sense to do so. It makes sense to prioritize informal settlements, and informal settlements is our priority. I think we must accept that the gearing up period took a little bit longer than planned, but we're getting there. I think some of the metros are doing far much better. Maybe when we get to that workshop, and I think we must have a workshop with you, you need to call all of us in provinces to that workshop so that we can interrogate all of these areas that are not performing very well, informal settlements upgrading, and also the title deeds program. We need to interrogate them a little bit more. The question about the National Needs Register, I know that this is one area that the minister is passionate about, and she has some ideas on how best to fix this problem, because it's been with us for a very long time. We started as a waiting list. We changed it into a National Needs Register. And I think we can put a percentage of our capital budget to finance the innovation that is required around this particular issue. And I think there are quite a number of innovators, ICT specialists, who can assist us to fix this issue. We attempted it, I think, twice. There's a gentleman who used to work in the organization, reporting to Joseph Lishabane, and his name is Johan Mini, who came up with an app on how best to perfect this particular program. The only challenge was always at source level, if you like, at municipal level, because that's where the data is. So the question was always about how do you deal with the issue of garbage in, garbage out? How do you make sure that you put the right controls where the data is maintained, because the data is maintained at source, at a municipal level? But it is something that needs to be prioritized, and I think we are determined to perfect it. There are different approaches. You will see it, that provinces are dealing with this matter differently. even though we attempted at national level to standardize it. We do it at the national leads register, but it's not being maintained at the level that we want it to be maintained. And it's also linked to the housing subsidy system, which I think has passed its sell-by date. I think it started as a payment system, but I don't think it's giving us all what we need to manage these programs effectively and efficiently. Honorable Masuta, you raised an issue about asset ownership. I guess the best way of looking at this issue is to study the real estate business and asset management business in South Africa. Even before we zoom into just the Western Cape, because real estate in this country is untransformed. And you will see the figures when EAB present to you that the real estate business in this country is more than 90% untransformed. In any other country, if you want to see where the wealth of the country resides, you just have to look at these two parts, real estate and asset management. And in this country, both of them are more than 90% untransformed. You can see the figures speak for themselves, and those figures are available. We can get to the asset management figures for you. We can also get to the real estate figures for you, because real estate is, the figures are there for everyone to see, and I'm sure EAAB will be able to share with you those figures, but those figures are easily accessible. Now, you're also raising an important point. This is my parting shot before I hand over to the minister. You, Honorable Masuta, you raised a point about tweaking the operating model in human settlements, and you're using DSD as an example. You're saying, well, we started this model of reviewing the grant system with DSD. You will recall that before the establishment of SASA in this country, provinces were responsible for disbursing the grant, the social security grant. And SASA was established to deal with inefficiencies that were glaring in most provinces. I think the principle makes a lot of sense, but I'm sure we'll have to discuss that with you. But it is a very good principle. But in the case of human settlements, it's not just about managing the grant and disbursing the grant. It's also about leveraging, using this grant as a leveraging tool. Some people have said the human settlements grant is a very lazy grant. 27 billion rands should be able to leverage another 27 billion rands, depending on how you utilize the grant. But we treat it exactly the same way as the social security grant. It's not necessarily meant to leverage things. I think we should be able to use the grant as a leveraging grant. We know that the only component in this grant that is leveraging very well, it is the FLISP component, which is the Affordable Housing Fund component. But I think there are other aspects of the grant that can be used to leverage. And HDA, when it was established in 2008, the intention was exactly to follow the approach that DSD followed. But I think part of the problem is that it was not properly constituted. And secondly, I think the recruitment went terribly wrong because before HDA was established, we visited a number of countries to look at various models. We look at Malaysia, we look at Singapore, we look at Hong Kong. So there are practical case studies that we looked at, but sometimes what happens in practice and what was in the policy intent are not necessarily the same thing. So I think there were unintended consequences or unintended objectives that were achieved along the way. It is not all lost. I think there is an opportunity to review and restructure our entities so that they can achieve what we want them to achieve. Thank you very much. I think the bulk of the questions will be able to respond to them on Friday.
So transfers of funding to provinces and municipalities and monitoring them. We must not shy away from difficult questions about the capacity of some provinces and municipalities. These spheres of government are struggling to deliver on their housing mandate. In fact, some provinces and municipalities struggle to spend grant funding for the development of human settlements. The minister has inherited
problems, and she is in the process of addressing all these issues. Mm-hmm. When Minister first arrived in the department, she put in place a program to help her understand the department in more detail. The minister then visited all provinces, and some of the challenges that she witnessed related to incomplete houses was raised by Honorable Mokgoto in all provinces, and the illegal occupation of unfinished houses. Minister has made it a priority to unblock projects, and she is working very hard by embarking on turning around this difficult administrative situation. I agree with Honorable Masuta about the need for the sense of commonality in the APP of provinces and municipalities. This was also identified by the minister. You are not out of order, Honorable Masuta. For instance, one of the challenges we see in provinces relates to delays in township establishment. For us to overcome this issue, we need to ensure that there is an alignment of the APP of provinces and municipalities. To support Honorable Mike Masuta, I visited various municipalities in the Western Cape because I'm deployed there. Some areas are deplorable. Minister visited 7 provinces, and she is now left with 2 provinces. I'm glad that the minister is still going to go to Western Cape and see the issues for herself. I want to request the committee to conduct oversight over the Western Cape province and bring back findings. Thank you, Minister, and the chairperson for giving me the opportunity to speak. And I'm very happy. I'm very happy, Minister. I feel that I'm the Deputy Minister. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. As colleagues have responded to quite a number of issues in detail, just from my side, just to reassure the committee, firstly, I did note that several members felt that over time there have been issues that have not been responded to. We'll do our best to ensure that we bring Parliament on board, especially the Portfolio Committee, on a number of issues, but also, as I said in my opening remarks, working together with the Portfolio Committee so that we can be able to find lasting solutions in the issues that we are mandated to. Just overview, I think, members, just to assure you, from our side in terms of entity oversight, and we'll go into detail on Friday when the entities present, because you'll deal with that. We have interacted with the entities. We have made it clear in terms of what we want to do. As I said, HDA, we have advertised the board, actually all 5 of them. It's HDA, it's NHBRC, it's SHRA, it's CISOS, it's EAAB, which is now practice, I must call it property practitioners, that we have. The bill was ascended, and that's why we are moving into the implementation from EAAB into the new professional body. In our entity, that's how we advertised. So all of them, we are expecting those 5 to be in the process of us appointing them by next week. Hopefully, as I said, with cabinet's endorsement, we should be able to make pronouncements latest next week, Friday. And we are looking at, because most of these boards, for example, we've got 2, HDA, we've got an administrator. In NHBRC, we have dissolved. When I arrived, I requested cabinet to support us to dissolve the board there at NHBRC, and we appointed an administrator. Members would have seen through a statement, and this was based on some of the feedback we received from communities and stakeholders in terms of the functioning of that board. So we did that and communicated, but also because we wanted to ensure that there's stability. HDA, there was an administrator placed before I arrived by Minister Sisulu. What we did as I arrived is continue, reaffirmed the administrator to proceed so that we can be able to appoint a board, which we are in the process of finalizing. So all those entities will have. I do know that members will deal into detail in the discussions, both on Friday and the following week, on those entities. But just from our side, as we flag the issues, and also just to indicate that we are paying attention to quite a number of things that the Auditor General has raised, reaffirming and reassuring members in terms of action plan. When we present quarterly reports, both in terms of the department and of the entities, we will definitely present as well the action plan, how far we are in terms of dealing with the issues that the AG has raised. This I've confirmed, I've communicated both with the entities and as well with the department. So quarterly performance reporting will include those so that members are able to track how far and what are we doing. I did meet with the Auditor General's team prior to us even concluding some of the work. They did take me through in terms of their concerns, the areas they want me to pay attention to as the executive authority. And I am doing that, paying attention to those issues. Specifically around unfinished projects, honorable members, I think honorable, both honorable Khotso and I think honorable Powell have responded to your issues. The issue here around that is that we have started doing work in terms of unfinished projects. As I said earlier on, we'll come to the committee. I do note that we've got a session specifically for dealing with unfinished projects. But just to share with members, across the country, we have quite a number of unfinished projects. This is where you'd find ordinary members of society who say, I have applied for an RDP since 2000, since 1997 and all that, and I have not received. But when you go to the system, you find that the person has been allocated or is deemed to have benefited is because of these unfinished projects. So we'll take you through in terms of per province, how many there are, cost analysis, but more so, what is it that we are doing about it? We've started engagements with the provinces as we present our annual performance plan for 2022-2023. You'll see some of these things will start to be addressed. And this is where the conversation we're starting with the provinces to be able to close those gaps. I have said in terms of the process is that what we will do with the business plans of provinces and business plans of municipalities is that there will just not be a document that is sent and signed off. There will be engagement between the executive authority of the portfolio to in the nationally and executive authority in the provinces, and also leadership in terms of the municipalities that we are providing the grants to. So that when we sign the business plans, there is alignment in terms of what we want to achieve, both in terms of national priorities and together with responding to the challenges on the ground and ensuring that we have a uniform way of addressing issues, not one going left, the other going right. So those are some of the things that we are putting in place. With regards to Dalana in Limpopo, I have received the report or I have received a briefing by the SIU on the matter as the executive authority because the project was implemented by HDA. What we have done as well was to go through what they've been able to find, but also the referrals. Initially, they had referred about three officials. Then later, they referred other officials. And when HDA appear, they will be able to give you, but action has been taken. I think at the time of the report being concluded by the Auditor General, there was not yet clarity. There's been even a statement by HDA that will take you through in terms of attempts to blacklist some of the entities or companies that are aligned. But SIU has opened cases. I know one was supposed to, I think they were appearing on the 3rd of November, if I'm not mistaken, in Polokwane Magistrate Court, in Polokwane, where the contractor that was involved charges have been laid. So consequence management is not true that is not happening, colleagues. It is happening. In areas, maybe, I think the gap between the Auditor General's team as they were reporting and my information, because I have followed up even after meeting with the AG's team, and therefore will ensure that as the entities present on Friday and next week, we'll urge them, I think Didi Chinongo, if you can just make sure that there is in each of the entities a slide that speaks to consequence management in terms of managing the wasteful and fruitless expenditures. Now, so that colleagues can feel comfortable that it's not that the AG raises issues and we're not doing anything about it. So there will be action plan. They will report now as they come, but going forward as quarterly performance reporting will be happening. So the issues continue there. I think quite a number of issues have been responded to. I want to thank you members for your engagement, feedback, but also because we take this as a way of flagging for us to pay attention on other areas. Yes, we might not be in every community to see these issues, but our issue, you'd remember that the portfolio or the human settlement is a concurrent function. So there are certain things that sometimes it will take us longer to come back to you because we've got to verify the information with the municipality and especially those that have developer status and also with the provinces as we disperse the grants and they are implementing the grants. One of the things that we are looking at is to tighten around the grants to make sure that they are working specifically for what we want to achieve. The other area, again, is around where you would say consequence management. We have requested that we need to tighten the contract clauses so that when contractors don't perform, there is penalty clauses that we can effect and recover the costs. So those are some of the things that we are looking at. We're having conversations and we continue. So some of the things might not happen now, but as we present the annual performance plan going forward, colleagues, you will see the implementation of some of these areas and what we are starting to pay attention to. Thank you very much, Chair. I really appreciate the engagement. Some of the issues are comments. We have noted them. I might not have commented on all because the colleagues have responded to some of these issues. We really appreciate this. Thanks.
Chairperson.
Honorable Mokgotho and Honorable Tseke, I can see your hands are still up. I'm listening.
Chairperson, I have about three questions which have not been responded to by the department, and they are specific questions which the department is supposed to respond to. They are not about the entities responding to. So I wish to repeat those questions, maybe because we have asked a lot of questions. Maybe they were unable to capture these questions. I need the answers to these questions. Can I continue, Chairperson?
Yes, you can ask, Honorable Member.
Thank you, Chairperson. What are the reasons for inconsistent status reports for the TRU project? What is the current status of the HSD bank? What are the reasons for the late appointment of the service provider for the UISP evaluation study? Could the department provide more details on the viament made from program 3 to program 2 to the value of 24 million for the provision of COVID-19 relief funds to the Estate Agents Affairs Board? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mokgotho. Department, Honorable Tseke.
Mine is an old hand.
Yeah, okay. Honorable Sikhwai.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Just one issue is that Honorable Minister, in welcoming you, I had a challenge when I started to speak. You are surprising us the way you are articulating the issues that we've been dealing with for some time and how we have jumped to the real core issues of the department. It's amazing. When you were doing an opening remarks, I listened to you. And I think you have head this committee is longing for such engagement and the issues that are responded to, because housing is the core function of our people. It is investment of all. I really appreciate your enthusiasm to take out the department. You are well welcome, Mama, and we know you. We know you. You have got guts to deal with the issues. I miss the whip, but also we need to welcome the whip and to say we are well whipped under his leadership. We will follow as he whipped us. It's sometimes an unfortunate chairperson because we used to work with you. We sometimes forget that you are in a perhaps in a new approach. We welcome you, Chairperson Honorable Semenya, and in the department. And we're still here to really work with you and address the issues that are affecting people. I just want. I'm from COVID, Honorable Minister. So sometimes I forget many things. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Safai. Honorable Powell.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, I just wanted to echo Honorable Nancy's sentiments. I think that everybody in the committee today has found it to be exceptionally refreshing, and to have such pragmatic responses without any spin or fluff has been really fantastic. And so certainly even from us on our position benches, thank you, thank you, thank you. It was good. And we look forward to speaking about the entities, as has been suggested. Those are going to be difficult conversations on Friday. And a lot of remedial work is going to be required from us as a committee. And then, Chair, I would just like to also apologize. I wasn't aware that one of the members of our committee was sight impaired. So I would just like to apologize for having written my comments when I could have stood and verbalized them. I wasn't aware that we had a sight impairment within the committee. So please accept my apologies. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Can we get the department to respond to issues that raised by Honorable Mofutu?
Let me just come through, Chair, and close up. The issue of the Human Settlement Bank, we are actually in the final stages. We're looking for finally going through to Cabinet. There were issues that we needed to deal with. As the portfolio, both in terms of getting the concurrence from the Minister of Finance in terms of what the bank deviations needs to be. So we'll be informing the committee. It's work in progress, but quite a lot of advancement. We've gotten the process ahead. We should be approaching a cabinet soon. This week, I was dealing with the final touch-ups on it, so that we can be able to go into the to cabinet for approval, in terms of, because we need to first get the bill approved by cabinet so that we can publish it for comments, and also be able to get public and also through to parliament. But what we intend to do as well is that we'll start ensuring that the entity itself repositions itself more towards that process, so that by the time we have the bill approved or passed by Parliament, at least we have made way headways in terms of processes that needs to be done, especially around operational matters, especially around governance issues as well. So that will be the issue that we'll do. On the issues around TRUs, temporary units, as I spoke to Honor Mohot, I spoke to also Dalana, in terms of progress, there are quite other areas that we're still going to pay attention to. The issue that we are paying attention to, firstly, is around the quality of those, so that they do not take away the dignity of South African citizens. So others are arguing that we should do away with TRUs. There are cases where, for example, if you are to build, let's take the Duncan Village area, you are to build within that area. And therefore, you need to start moving people so that you can be able to position them, them properly, be able to put bulk infrastructure. You are not able to do that in the current format. So decanting is important, and that's why you would need to utilize the TRUs for that process. The other issue that we want to pay attention to is the cost of it. Because we are finding that the cost is different in different areas, and we're trying to make sure that at least the cost, because where you would have somebody saying this is the cost, for example, somebody would say 74,000 rand. But when you start looking with the infrastructure that is coming through, it's actually going to a particular price. So one of the things that I've started to pay attention to is those areas. So we want to have the, in terms of them, what you call, you can call norms and standards are existing, but you find that somebody doesn't do exactly what you're expecting. So you talk about TRUs in Mamelodi, those specific issues. Where we find there specifically as I engaged with the community is that the major issue there was that there was no consultation or engagement with them when that was happening. So you'd see the report from Swane as we engaged with them to understand what is happening there. And then that's part of the problem. So it differs where the intervention is. For example, you'd find that if you deal with KZN and you interact with what MECCBI is doing there again, you'll see that as you go into the rural areas where, for example, it's a mud house, it's not a habitable environment for a person to live in. Therefore, it necessitates for a TRU immediately, and then they build to move that person because you've got to secure the safety of the person. The other issue the team has been arguing about was on the basis that if you have a disaster, because if a disaster happens today, you are likely to have to provide an accommodation within 24 hours. Because once you can provide it an accommodation within 24 hours, it's no longer an emergency. And within that condition, you can't build a house within 24 hours or repair whatever that needs to be. And that's where the issues around your TRUs, if you were to say they come in. Yes, it's an area that we'll have to pay attention to, Honorable Member. We acknowledge that in terms of the quality, in terms of the sizes, but in terms of the cost and what they mean into our communities. The other area linking to that would be the alternative technology that we must use. We are picking up as we interact with our society that you find that communities are not, our South African communities still believe more in built brick and mortar. And those are the conversations we must have in terms of alternative technologies to utilize so that we can be able to see, Honorable Members, some of these developments happening faster in the pace and the quality and the speed that we want to see. But in the process, ensuring that we do not tamper with the dignity of our people. So CFO, together with DDG Lishabane, Honorable Member, spoke to the vehement in terms of Program 2, as you raised it. So I thought that they'd already responded to that, because the issue around even your COVID-19 intervention, as well DG has spoken to, as we come with the entities, they will be able to explain, to say how they have been able to deal with those transfers. Honorable Powell also raised it, will be able to check in because the money was transferred to those entities to be able to implement. So in the other area in terms of COVID-19 relief packages. So that has been responded to as well. So I do hope that we've been able to cover the issues around, including the issues around internal controls that you have raised, Honorable Mokhutu, have been responded to as we work, but also going forward, as we say, that we'll do develop and make sure that we are able to improve. And also a report where we are saying this is what we have not been able to achieve into the report, but also where we are moving forward to is to say, what is it that we are going to do? Yes, we can say that other ministers, but we can only do more and achieve with the interaction that we come to your committee accounting, work by work, we'll be able to interrogate further, have more deliberate interaction, more detailed discussion on those focus areas so that we can share with you what our plans are, what we are seeing in real time in terms of the on the ground. But again, Honorable Members, as I said at the beginning, one